Great. Thanks, Erica. We'll keep your Bibles open so that you can follow along from Luke chapter 6. And we're going to be learning from, continue our series in the Sermon on the Plain. Many of us might have heard of the Sermon on the Mount, but I'm not sure if everyone's heard of the Sermon on the Plain. Not the aeroplane, but just a plain field like the one on the screen behind me. But let's pray for God's help to be able to understand. This is kind of tricky. He's sort of saying the opposite of what we might expect in life. So let's pray for God's help to understand what he's saying. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another day in which we can come and learn about you and learn more about your goodness, learn more about your love and your grace to us, that we don't have to earn your blessing in life, but you give it to us as a free gift through our Lord Jesus. So remind us afresh and open our eyes to see how wonderful and amazing you are. We pray that you'll change our life today in light of what you have to say to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we all want to be happy in life, don't we? Advertisers know it. Every year they spend billions of dollars trying to convince you to be unhappy. They know you want to be happy, and so they try and convince you to be unhappy and discontent because they want to convince you to buy their product, and by buying what they're selling, well, then you'll be have a better life, then you'll be happy. Politicians also know it, don't they? They know that we all want to be happy. And so politicians also claim to have the answers to our problems. And so they appeal to us every election to trust them to put things right. Oh, we've got one politician in our congregation, but you can trust him, yep. But every election, they promise us that if we vote for them, then life will go well. And then we'll be happy. There's no shortage of promises and offers in our culture about the route to happiness. Another common one that we hear just in the air we breathe is that if we express ourselves, if we are proud of ourselves, if we stand up for ourselves, then we can live our best life, and then we'll be happy. And it's this, these values, these promises that often lie behind people's decisions to, you know, move house or chase promotions or retire early or to get married or to get divorced. Or our culture calls this self-assertive pursuit of happiness being true to yourself. Though in reality, it's often a license to just be selfish. Now, as we turn to our passage today of scripture in Luke chapter 6, verses 20 to 26, Jesus, he gathers his disciples on a plane with a broader crowd around as well, and he invites his followers to experience life at its very best. It's a big claim, isn't it? Jesus makes a big promise. He promises the path to true blessing, to true happiness. But he teaches us that the route to true happiness is the opposite to what people generally think. So in this passage we just heard read, there were four blessings and four woes. And so Jesus in this promises us that the true path to happiness in life involves actually exalting the things that people usually despise and rejecting what the world usually admires. Have a look with me. According to Jesus, as we read this passage, who are the truly blessed ones in this world? Who are the truly fortunate people in life? Who are the truly privileged? Who has a real reason to rejoice and be happy in life? Well, in the first case, he says it's not the rich, which is what we might think, but the poor. Now, what does he mean? Well, let's have a look at this first point that will come up on the screen. The point is that the truly blessed are the poor who depend on God, not the self-sufficient prosperous. Let's go to verse 20. Read with me, verse 20. Looking at his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven." Now, Jesus isn't saying that all poor people in the world will be saved and go to the kingdom of heaven, while all rich people will, they'll miss out. Otherwise, we'd all be in trouble. I mean, maybe, I don't know whether you feel like you're rich or poor, but let me just ask, if imagine we lined up every person that's ever lived in the history of this human world, from richest to poorest, okay? And now just say you are on Austudy, or you're on unemployment benefits, or you're on a disability pension or an old age pension. Where in that big long line of people from richest to poorest, where would you be if you're on Centrelink benefits? You'd be in the top 15% of the richest people who have ever lived in this world. Now, let me ask you, have you got a full-time job? Well, where would you rank? You're probably in the top 1% of people, top 1% of the richest people who have ever lived. And so, even though, we might not feel it, none of us, in relative terms, is actually poor. Now, Jesus isn't saying that we can't inherit the kingdom of God. So what is he saying? Well, poverty, as awful and terrible as it is, often reminds people, those who are suffering, that we're actually, as human beings, we're dependent creatures. We're dependent on our Creator. You see, when we have nothing else, when everything's taken away from us, what do you have left? You see, at that point, you're forced to depend on God. And not only for physical and material blessings, but you're reminded to depend on Him for your spiritual blessings as well. And so Jesus promises that in this way, the materially poor, who are also poor in spirit, that is humble, dependent before God, well, they're actually the truly blessed ones in this world, those who depend on God. They are the truly fortunate ones in this life because guess what? For the next billion, trillion, zillion years, they're going to know the riches and the abundance of life with God in His kingdom. Now compare this to the misery, the disappointment, the dreadful future facing the rich. Look at the parallel woe. So there's four kind of blessings. Jesus said, these people are blessed, these people are not. And so they kind of parallel each other. So look at the parallel woe. A woe is an opposite of a blessing. Read verse 24 with me, sentence 24. It says, but woe to you who are rich, for you've already received your comfort. See, this is the problem with the Western world. The danger with affluence is that we can start to think that we're self-sufficient, that we don't need God. And so we can look to our wealth for our comfort. We can look to our money for all our solutions in life. And we can look to our bank balance for our security. And so we as Westerners, as Western Christians, we need to heed Jesus' word here. It's easy to be tempted by working, you know, certain hours and get double time pay, but at the expense of neglecting your spiritual life. Or it can be easy to sink your whole wealth into building heaven here on earth, in your own home. But when we live like that, which promises are we trusting in at that point? So do you want to be happy? Well, Jesus promises us that it's not the self-sufficient, but it's those who depend on God who are the truly fortunate ones, the truly privileged, the truly blessed in this life and for eternity. Now, this first point ties in with the second point Jesus makes here. In the second case, it's not the well-fed, but the hungry. It's not those who laugh in life, but those who weep who are on the path to true happiness, Jesus says. And so the second point will come up again on the screen, is that Jesus says that the truly blessed are the pitiable who hope in the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the coming kingdom of God. It's not the self-satisfied pleasure seekers. Have a look at verse 21. Verse 21, read the first line. It says, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied." Now, perhaps you feel like you're missing out in life. Perhaps you feel like you've been handed a raw deal. You've had your fair share of hardships and suffering. Perhaps you've had to suffer with chronic health problems. Or you've been disappointed by a relationship. Or you've been passed over for a job opportunity because of some undermining narcissist. Perhaps you've known darkness that no one should ever have to deal with. Maybe you feel like your years are slipping away. Your dreams are fading. And your heart's filled with disappointments. And as you look around, you look at other people and they seem to have life together. They seem to have it all. They seem to be satisfied and happy. And so you can't help but feel a sense of pity. You think to yourself, it's just not fair. Why should I miss out? Is that you? Well, look at what Jesus promises those whose hope isn't in the things of this world, isn't in their present circumstances, but in the gospel. Have a look at the second line of verse 21, the second phrase. Jesus says, "Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." You see, Jesus is saying that the route to be truly happy now is to live in light of eternity. We'll only be truly now if we've settled the issue of what life will be like then in the kingdom of God. And blessed is the person who hasn't settled for all the pleasures of this world, settled for second best. But the truly blessed and the truly privileged, the truly fortunate people in this world are the ones who know the strains, know the hardships and frustrations of this life, and they hunger for more. But woe to the person who's self-satisfied now. Because you might have every good thing now, but on the other side of death, there'll only be an eternity of life without God. And every good thing that comes from God. Look at verse 25, the parallel woe. Verse 25. He says, "Woe to you who are well fed now, for you'll go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you'll mourn and weep." Do you want to enjoy life at its very best? See, some Aussies joke. They think heaven will be in the clouds and boring. And they joke that, oh yeah, I'm looking forward to hell. It'll be, you know, I'll have a never-ending party with my mates. According to Jesus, life without God forever is to be dreaded. It's a life of misery. It'll be terrible and to be avoided at all costs. And so if we want to be on the path to true happiness, then trusting in the promise of prosperity, as we saw in the first point, or pleasure here and now, it won't deliver ultimately. See, the truly blessed are the pitiable ones who hope in the gospel, in the good news of our Lord Jesus. Do you want to be happy? Well, Jesus has one more surprising promise for us. We see it in the third point, that the truly blessed, he says, are the ones, are the persecuted followers of Jesus, not the self-promoting and popular. Read with me verse 22. He says, "Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets." See, all of us want to be like, don't we? Well, again, Jesus has another shocking statement for us. Here he goes against every grain in our body, every intuition. He says the true life of blessing, life in the kingdom of God, will involve being hated. Now, if you're like me, you think, well, how will that lead to a happy life? Most of us will never probably go hungry. But if we follow Jesus, then we're highly likely to be looked down upon. Now, if as Christians, it's because we're unkind or we're arrogant or we're self-righteous and proud. Well, we deserve the disdain that we get from our peers or colleagues. I'm sure many of you have experienced those times when you've taken a stand for the truth, or identified as a Christian, only to find yourself a little isolated and marginalized in your peer group. Happens in classrooms, happens in the workplace. For some of you, I know it happens in families too. Again, it hardly seems like the path to happiness. No one wants to be unpopular. And so the temptation for us as Christians is to appease others by being self-censoring. We don't want to risk our jobs. We don't want to risk our friendships. And so we can fall into the trap of just never saying anything that offends anyone. But notice Jesus' little warning. his final woe statement. Look at verse 26. He says, "Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that's how their ancestors treated the false prophets." In the Old Testament, there were false prophets who, you know, when the Assyrian army was, the world superpower was marching in towards Israel, the false prophet said, "Peace, peace, don't worry." When the invasion was coming, the false prophets assured the Israelites, God's people, "No, God loves you, you have his favor." When actually he was angry with his people for their injustice and hypocrisy. These false prophets, they just told people what they wanted to hear because they themselves wanted to be popular. But if we want everyone to speak well of us, then we're going to have to speak out both sides of our mouths. Yet Jesus says it's a miserable thing to lose the truth and at the same time lose your soul. All the popularity in the world can't make up for that. The truly blessed aren't the self-promoting popular. So who are the truly blessed, according to Jesus? Well, it's those who trust in Christ and his gospel promises. Those who have their hope in the kingdom of God. Jesus is here proclaiming woe to the Australian dream, isn't he? And perhaps that's the reason for the ineffectiveness of the and decline of the Western Church over many decades now. We've been no different. We've been living for our own comfort. We've been swallowing the promises of the advertisers and the politicians to find our happiness in prosperity, pleasure, and popularity. But God's values are a reversal of everything we've been taught to expect. You see, our ultimate hope isn't in the things of this world. Our hope isn't in our present circumstances, but in the kingdom of God, his eternal, perfect, glorious kingdom. And so life in God's kingdom turns our values upside down. But Jesus saying upside down is actually the right way up in God's eyes. And so what would you rather be? You can sign up for a life of self-sufficient prosperity, the self-satisfying pleasure, the self-promoting popularity, anywhere. But Jesus says the cost will be eternal misery. A life without God forever. And every good thing that comes from him. But there's only one place where we can sign up for a truly blessed, eternally happy life with Jesus. Now and forever. And that place is the cross. The cross of Christ. The same place that the Lord Jesus himself gave up everything like a poor man. He was thirsty. He cried out in anguish. And he was mocked. Those same things he's calling us to right here. And he endured it all for our good. For your good, for my good, and for the joy set before him. We all want to be happy. What will you choose? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace to us. When we try to run our own lives and depend on ourselves, when we try to assert ourselves and we make a mess of our own lives. We hurt other people and we ignore you. And for this, we're sorry. Lord God, we thank you that you sent our Lord Jesus, that he did die, that he became poor on the cross, thirsty, that he was willing to be persecuted, that we might know joy, that we might know eternal happiness, true blessing, true privilege, true fortune, both now and forever. We thank you for this free gift. Amen.